Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome into the Big Bad Morning Show at 6:02 a.m. in Charm City. Cordell Woodland filling in for Rob and Jeremy here with Ed Norris, my guy. Still behind the glass. I'm still trying to get my brain to wake up this morning. I can't tell you the last time I was up before the sun was up. So the fact that I got here today is already a win in my book. But I think I've said this to you before, Ed. I don't envy you guys waking up at God knows. I'm sure you get up earlier than I do.
Yeah, I usually get up at 3:30.
Yeah. Man, that's probably when I'm just hitting the peak sleep, you know, just getting into the REM sleep at that
point. Exactly when I'm hitting the peak sleep. That's why I'm always exhausted. You get up in the middle of REM sleep. And just so you know, it's 6:02 in the a.m.
Yeah. At six, yeah, right. 6:02 in the a.m. Right. Yeah, no, Rob, today as we get your Friday started with a bang. First Friday of the year. Today, and it's a cold one, 30 degrees coming in this morning, man, and my car couldn't get heated fast enough. It looks like we'll have some snow coming next week, so winter is starting to show up now. We've kind of been blessed with a couple of 50-plus degree days every now and then. It's been a while since we had a 60-degree day, but it seems like that real winter front is about to come in.
Yeah, I hope they make some accommodations, because if we get 10 inches of snow, as they're predicting for Monday, we'll be sleeping here.
Yeah, I've heard the stories about the past, about people having to stay in here overnight.
Yeah, because, you know, the roads aren't really fit to be driven on if you get a big snowstorm at like 4 or 5 in the morning. So we usually just stay here. They just put us up at a hotel, the Cross Keys.
My, how times have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's just find a way home, find a way in for sure.
Grab a studio and lay down.
Right. But yeah, hopefully it won't be as bad. Of course, this weekend, tomorrow, you've got the Ravens that'll be on the field playing for an AFC North division title. And I expect the temperatures to be pretty cold in that one. And hopefully, you know, for most of those guys, especially the starters, you're not going to see a lot of them tomorrow, because this is a game that really they should have in the bag by the time we get into the middle of the third quarter.
Yeah, I would hope so. I'm assuming, you know, because it means something. They're on fire right now. The Browns are just getting ready for vacation. I mean, they take no reason to play. So Cancun on three.
Right.
They're making their vacation plans.
Yeah, Cancun on three for sure. I'm actually kind of upset that this game ended up happening on a Saturday. I was hoping it would be a Sunday situation. Ironically enough, all four AFC North teams are playing on Saturday. I know people have kind of had some feelings about the Ravens having the first game of the day on Saturday, and Pittsburgh kind of gets to sit back and watch those guys, and maybe it dictates how Pittsburgh plays their game against Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much it'll change it, honestly, because, A, I don't know how much Pittsburgh wants Cincinnati in the postseason, and also, you know, that's a team that hasn't looked good in almost a month now. You'd think that they'd want to look good, build up some sort of momentum going into the postseason.
I don't know who I would want to face Cincinnati in the postseason. I mean, the defense sucks, but that offense is Joe Burrow's having an incredible year, as he usually does. So that's a tough out, man. That's a tough out. And the Steelers, it's the same thing. It's like they're kind of backing their way into the playoffs.
Right.
You know, lost three in a row. They're not looking very good right now. Good for us.
Yeah, definitely good for the Ravens, who I expect to win the game tomorrow. And look, it's a good thing that they're in the spot that they're in, especially starting the year 0-2. And here we are, week 18, and we're talking about them with an opportunity to clinch the AFC North on their home field. At that, yesterday, obviously, you know, we're talking about playoffs, college football playoffs going on yesterday, and it's been a crazy time just this week, specifically out in New Orleans, obviously with the tragedy happening the other day that postponed the Sugar Bowl all the way till up till tomorrow. I'm sorry, yesterday at 4:30, Notre Dame against Georgia, and wasn't a great game. Wasn't a great game at all. Notre Dame won 23-10. It wasn't terrible. It had its moments where it seemed like maybe the game would switch to the other side, but Georgia playing with a backup quarterback, and it just seemed like their offense never was able to get going. Notre Dame didn't have much offense to speak of either, but at least the defense did enough to kind of get them to win yesterday.
They beat them soundly. Yeah. It's, you know, 13 points, that's good victory in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, I mean, you talk about two old-time blue blood teams. You have Penn State and Notre Dame facing each other, and Texas and Ohio State. I really like the way this has worked out because I don't know how you feel, but if it was Boise State in the final, semifinals, whatever it may be, nah.
Right.
No thanks.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, you look at the seed, and there isn't, you know, Texas is the highest seed left now. At 5.
Yeah.
So we're all the teams that got the bye, that'll be the conversation now going into next year. Oh, is a bye bad? Do you want a bye? Because none of the teams that had the bye were able to get the win this time around. So it will be some parity in terms of seeding-wise. You'll be able to get a champion this year that isn't necessarily one of the top favorites regardless. But, I'm with you. And even still, it's you look at the top four, I mean, there's nobody here that I'm saying, oh, yeah, it's guaranteed. This is probably the team to win. I mean, Texas, Ohio State going against each other, those are two blue blood teams in themselves. I can't sit here and say either or has an advantage. Maybe Ohio State right now, they seem to be extra motivated ever since they lost to Michigan at the end of the year. But Penn State, Notre Dame, same thing. Both of those teams have had the issues of they can't win the big games,
yeah.
And here they are having to play each other in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, and like I tell you, there were early in the season, I thought Texas was the best team in the country. I predicted them to be, you know, the number one team going into the playoffs this year. Didn't happen, but they're still very good. But I'll tell you, that Arizona State team, I think, was a better team that day.
Yeah.
They may have lost the game, but I thought they looked better than Texas, and that was a unit that nobody thought, or some people thought, didn't belong in the playoffs. I thought they looked really damn good.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Arizona, I mean, and God knows, you know, they were able to run the ball. Arizona State is they're similar to Boise State, I think, in terms of obviously Arizona State probably has more recognition, and they've been in the Pac-12, and who knows what's even left of that anymore. But Boise State, yeah, it wasn't. You didn't really think too highly of them in terms of winning it all. I thought that had kind of run its course, and still a really good year for them being able to get a 3 seed and get the bye. But at least this year with the college football playoffs, I thought it got off to a slow start, a lot of blowouts, still a lot of blowouts, but now it's shifted to, you know, none of these teams that got in look good to now. Maybe it looks like we are going to get some parity in the end, at least seeding wise. So I think they're getting what they want.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because you mentioned the four teams left. There's nobody there that you'd look at and say, nah, they don't deserve to be in here. They got lucky. Because I think all four of these, despite the seeding, because the seedings are a little skewed because you got, with the new shuffling of all the conferences, you got weaker teams winning their conference.
All right.
You know, the SEC and the Big Ten, I think, are the two best. And, you know, everyone else is kind of there. So your teams that win those conferences, they may get a bye or they may be higher seeds, but not really.
Also, last night, the Terps were back on the court. They had a West Coast game, of course, the night before I'm coming in here. They start tip-offs at 9:30 last night out in Washington. But it was a good one. I watched as much as I could. Terps fell 75-69 to Washington, who's a good team. It was my first time being able to watch Washington this year. They actually have a pretty solid team. Great Osabor, he was the guy last night. 20 points, 8 for 12 from the field, 14 rebounds. Derek Queen was in foul trouble. I think last night was easily his worst game of the season, 1 for 7 from the field, only 4 points, 1 rebound, 1 block, no assist. I mean, it just wasn't the typical Derrick Queen game that you're used to seeing. Juju Reece stepped up in a big way, 22 points, 7 rebounds. He did foul out, but I think Derrick Queen getting into that foul trouble at the back end of the first half, and then in the second half, not really being able to find his groove. And Jakobi Gillespie, 0 for 6 from the field. It looked like last year's Terps, 2 for 11 from downtown.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is if Queen has a bad night, you're not having a good night as a team. So,
and they only lost by 6. So, I mean, definitely a credit to them, because Washington put up a really good fight.
And not making excuses for them. I just, you know, we said Washington's a good team.
Mm-hmm.
But now with the new Big Ten and having all these West Coast teams in the Big Ten, that's a lot of travel.
Right.
Because it's not like Maryland's a traditional Big Ten team from the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming from out here to go all the way out to Washington. That's a hike, man.
Really,
that's a hike.
Literally to the other side of the country. Mm-hmm. So, it is weird to even see Washington in the Big Ten. I had to double check last night to see that. But, it's weird. The conference alignments no longer matter about where you actually are on the map. And like you said, it really does bring into some long distance traveling, like the case for the Terps.
Yeah, it's just like... And everyone down, and they have to say it. I mean, I've always asked the coaches, and they go, well, you know, it's, you know what coaches say.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like.
Can't flinch.
Yeah, it's fine. Nothing, no big deal. It's got to be, because I look at it. If you were going to Europe, you'd make a big deal out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it's a little bit of a difference, but not much.
Right.
You're talking like, 3,600 miles to London, 2,700 mm-hmm. miles to Washington. It's far. I mean, it's really far. You got a couple of time zones to go through. I don't know how much of a difference it makes, but it's got to impact them somehow.
Coming up next here on the Big Bad Morning Show, we'll shift to the Ravens. Ravens-Browns tomorrow at 4:30 out at the Bank. Ravens looking to win the AFC North. Again this year, repeating last year. When will we expect to see some of these second and third stringers in the game tomorrow? Is it bad if we don't get the backups in the game tomorrow? We'll look at that. And of course, at 6:30, we'll talk about the Ravens and their 9 Pro Bowlers as well. That's next here on The Fan.
Storming the castle with the Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
Well, I haven't had to, but I have. Obviously, we have so much to play for. We try to take it one game at a time, one series at a time, one play at a time. And that's what we'll be trying to do in this game again. But this game, because of all the other games behind it, is an opportunity to put a banner up here. You know, and that means a lot, especially in the AFC North. It's a tough division. And so winning the AFC North is even a greater accomplishment. That's the opportunity we have this week, and that's what we're going to be fighting for.
6:18 in the a.m. here in Charm City. It's the Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Rob and Jeremy here with Ed Norris. Right. Joe LaCroix, of course, behind the glass this morning. Cold day in Charm City as we get ready for Ravens-Browns tomorrow. You just heard from the head coach, John Harbaugh, there talking about what it would mean to hang up another AFC North championship banner in the facility. And they'll have that opportunity tomorrow. With a win over Cleveland.
Facing Bailey Zappe.
Right. One of two quarterbacks. I mean, we're going to see two quarterbacks in this game tomorrow, it sounds like. Bailey Zappe, I guess, is getting the start.
He is.
But it's like, the old saying, if you have two, you have none.
Yeah.
And in this case, this is arguably, definitely in the case of DTR, I think that dude is the worst quarterback in the league, easily. I mean, I look around, people talk about Tyler Huntley, but this dude, I think he's god-awful.
He's terrible.
Yeah.
He really is. He's just terrible. It's strange that franchise has not been able to find a quarterback, and the one good one they had, they missed Treat, who's lighting mm-hmm. up in Tampa now.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at what Mayfield's doing down in Tampa Bay, and how badly he was treated by Cleveland, like they cannot get it right.
What's insane is Baker actually started to shift how people viewed Cleveland for a while. Yes. And he started to shift the culture a little bit. Now, Baker had his own issues. It seemed like he kind of started getting caught up in his own hype, maybe. And he was doing a lot of the commercials
at
the time.
And,
you know, in Cleveland, he had that one injury-riddled year after they went to the postseason. And, you know, they turned their back on him so fast. And bit the poison apple, which is Deshaun Watson. And we see how that's turning out for them right now. And we're looking at the game tomorrow. I mean, I don't know who they're going to have suiting up out there. Jerome Ford has already been declared out. Jordan Hicks declared out. David Njoku declared out. Pierre Strong is out. Denzel Ward is out. I mean, you got at least, six questionables here. Now, Myles Garrett, he'll be out there. He's taking off the injury report. Credit to him. He's fighting. I think he's trying to play for this Defensive Player of the Year award right now, which is up for grabs. I mean, on the top of my head, there's no bona fide leader right now.
No, it's a strong crew in here.
Yeah. So, I mean, he has a chance for sure. But with this game, like we said in the open, you know, we're expecting to see the starters sit down at some point. Number one, are you even excited for this game? I mean, I understand the Browns stink, but the Ravens still have an opportunity to win the division.
Yeah, and I am excited for it as much as, I mean, I know they're like 17.5-point favorites, so they should completely annihilate the Browns. But if they win, it's a division title, and they weren't leading the division a couple weeks ago. And it's nice to see them get hot at the end of the season. Right now, they may be the best team in the NFL. And everybody's going to point, I know they point to the Chiefs, that the Lions are beat up right now, especially defensively. Mm-hmm. I think the Lions are really a superb team, but beat up defensively badly. The Chiefs just don't look like the Chiefs. I despite the record, I know they get it done somehow, but I think it says something when, you know, Pat Mahomes doesn't make the Pro Bowl. Even though you can argue with that award means anything.
Right.
But he didn't make it. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine Pat Mahomes not being a Pro Bowl candidate? Just kind of surprised me. So I think the Ravens may be number one.
I wonder how many times I got to look and see, you know, what the Pro Bowl numbers in terms of the quarterback position has looked like over the years with the AFC, because it's a large group. I mean, Mahomes, Lamar, Allen, Burrow, just that alone, it's like, all right, somebody's not getting in. I got to go back over the last few years and see who's been the
odd man. I think that's the problem
out
this year, because you got Allen, Lamar, Burrow again to lighten it up.
Mm-hmm.
There is no room.
Right.
Yeah.
Even for the great Mahomes.
Yeah.
Even for the great Mahomes. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to jump in. Are you excited for this game tomorrow?
You bummed out Jameis Winston's not playing?
I mean, it definitely shows that they're waving the white flag. Yeah. I mean, because Jameis gives them any hope.
A shot.
Yeah. You know, you just never know. Now, he's going to throw you the ball a couple of times. But look, he did it the last time they played and they didn't catch any of them.
Exactly.
So, you know, and he still ended up having a career day. But, yeah, Jameis not playing at all. I think he's the emergency quarterback at this point. That lets you know what Cleveland's agenda is in this game, which would make it even more upsetting if we're going into the fourth quarter and, you know, we're not looking at backups. Yeah. Maybe not to start the quarter, but at some point in that game.
I don't want to see Lamar playing in the fourth quarter.
Right. That was the huge win for me on Christmas Day, even with them blowing out the Texans. It's the fact that on the third game in 11 days, you get to get your starters off their feet. That's as good of a scenario as they could ask for.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, people are bitching about this Saturday schedule. I think it's good because it may only be one day, but that one day is a lot in an NFL week.
Because
everybody complains about Thursday night games. Well, it's the same thing here. Now, instead of having one fewer day to prepare, or a couple fewer days, now you've got an extra day to prepare when other people don't who play on Sunday. So I think it's actually really good for the Ravens, who are probably as healthy as anybody going into the postseason right now.
Yeah, that's the huge thing for them, is that right now they're not dealing with any major injuries. Nicks and knacks, you know, guys are I'm sure they're sore. It's January, so
yeah,
is definitely the case. But yeah, they have their guys on the field able to play right now. Obviously, the late game Saturday is Pittsburgh against Cincinnati. Cincinnati's playing for their playoff hopes right now. Pittsburgh is just looking to build up some sort of momentum going into this game. How do you see that one working out, whether the Ravens win or not?
I believe I picked Cincinnati, actually. I just think that Pittsburgh is just they're not playing well, and it's they're doing it at the worst time you can do it. Is heading into the post, and they're in the playoffs. But you just look at the last couple of games with them. And granted, they lost to the best teams in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They lost to the Eagles, the Ravens, the Chiefs. No disgrace there. But they got lit up by all those teams.
Right.
It wasn't close. I mean, it was 27-13 against Philly, 34-17 against the Ravens, 29-10 against the Chiefs. They weren't competitive games. So I don't know. And Cincinnati, they have a slim chance, but they have a chance to mm-hmm. make the postseason. Because Miami and Denver lose, they win, they're in. So it's, they have something to play for. Steelers really don't. They go into the postseason and probably not going to win the division, especially if they see the Ravens win in the early game.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. You know, it's not the worst thing in the world that they lost to really good teams, and we're talking about possibly the top three teams in the NFL on this three-game losing streak, that is, in Philly, Baltimore, both of those games on the road, and then back home against the Chiefs on the short week. What is concerning is that, number one, all three of those teams are playoff teams, so it's, you know, we're at the time of year where it's good on good, and if you can't hang, you're going to get exposed, and that's what's happening. But also, it's the fact that all three of those teams have good enough offenses. Pittsburgh's offense can't keep up. That's what it tells me. They're getting ran off the field. They can't score. Their defense has been the backbone of the team all year, and now they're struggling, I think, because they're on the field a lot, and naturally the dam is going to break. It's an offensive league, and they can only last but so long. But I do think, granted, Pickens missed a couple of those games, and obviously that was a big deal. But if one guy that's not your quarterback can miss a game and it can hamper your offense that much, that's a bad thing.
He's the best player they have. And that's the problem. But you're right. If it makes that much of a difference, because he's hands down their best offensive weapon. A little immature.
A
lot immature. Yeah, that aside, he still is the best thing they got going for them. So we'll see. I don't know. I do believe since he's going to win the game.
I agree. I'm with Cincy. I'm kind of hoping that they get in as a neutral fan. I know a lot has to happen, but we'll see. But definitely that offense is one that I don't think any of these playoff teams want to see. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in. Coming up next on the Big Bad Morning Show, we'll keep it going with the Ravens talk. The Pro Bowlers were announced yesterday. The Ravens have 9 of them. What does that say about the organization? Is it time to give EDC some credit? Also, at 6:45, we'll look at the NFL as a whole, and we'll give you our votes for some of the big awards: MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Comeback Player of the Year, etc. All that and more next here on The Fan.
I think it's just top to bottom, one of, if not the strongest roster in the league, and we've got a bunch of talent, a bunch of guys around here making each other better, and we're all focused on one goal. And when you got a lot of people that are like-minded and work hard, and Harb said it yesterday, people getting individual awards just proves that we're having team success. So we're all blessed and thankful to be in the position that we're in, and it's something that we don't take for granted.
6:35 in the a.m. in Charm City. It's the Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Rob and Jeremy today, here with Ed Norris, Joe LaCorey behind the glass. You just heard from Ravens Pro Bowl safety Kyle Hamilton, his second Pro Bowl selection. He's one of 9 Ravens Pro Bowlers this year. Kyle Hamilton, like I said, that's his second. Derrick Henry, his 5th. Patrick Ricard, his 5th. Roquan Smith, his 3rd. They were the starters representing the AFC. Zay Flowers is obviously his first, and he's the first drafted Ravens wide receiver to be selected. Surprised, but not surprised by that. More of a aha moment.
Surprised by what?
Zay Flowers.
The
first drafted receiver by the Ravens to make the Pro Bowl.
Isn't that wild?
Great for him. I mean, it is. And it's somewhat surprising, but also not
right,
surprising when you know
the history of the
position. They've gotten, some really good external guys, but in terms of just homegrown, it's been tough sledding. Marlon was also selected. It's his 4th. Lamar is his 4th. Linderbaum 2nd, and Matabike his second as well. So congrats to all of those guys. Of course, they had a couple of alternates as well. Guys like Kyle Van Noy, Mark Andrews, Chris Borah for special teams, Daniel Faalele, Nick Moore, and Ronnie Stanley and Justin Tucker as well.
Yeah, and Van Noy, I think, would have been a start if the competition wasn't so stiff in the AFC for that position. Because he's fourth in the league in sacks, I believe. He had 11.5 last time I looked.
Right.
But I think this is real. To me, when you see something like this, this is a real tip of the cap to DaCosta. Because, you know, people, I don't know what people think or what they're seeing or hearing, but, you know, people call for his, oh, he's terrible. I don't know where they get it from, because this roster is incredible. And you look at that draft with Kyle Hamilton. Oh, that's right. Tyler Linderbaum was the same draft.
Mm-hmm.
He picks two guys in the first round. They're both perennial Pro Bowlers now. And that's just a couple of years ago. Was it the 22 draft?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you do really well and you build a great organization like this. And I don't know if people give enough credit to the front office. Although, I don't know if you saw the thing the other day. The Athletic had something where they ranked the front offices of the four major sports.
Mm-hmm.
Ravens were head and shoulders first in the NFL.
Okay.
Hands down. Wasn't even close. And they came in, I think, the third overall of all the sports. But I don't know why you even compare them. The OKC Thunder was number one. Dodgers was second. Ravens came in third.
The Thunder win something.
Yeah, I was like really surprised by that. So,
I guess they find a lot of good young talent. By all accounts, it does seem like a really good organization from people that have been there. But yeah, you think the winning part would be
matter. Having the Dodgers in there at second, I was like, yeah.
Right.
If you're willing to spend an unlimited sum of money,
right,
you should win. You should win every year.
Exactly.
So, I mean, I'll take it because they did win, but man, you know.
Yeah, I mean, having an unlimited amount of money helps. Being in LA helps.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, look, for the Ravens, I think it's tough to look at this. And even you said it earlier, you know, the Pro Bowl is kind of watered down these days, but even still, 9 Pro Bowlers, that's not something to scoff at.
Not at all.
And the good thing about the Ravens is that it's not like they're really ever picking high. So they're finding guys. I mean, even the draft that they got Hamilton and Linderbaum in, Hamilton was, 14?
14th, and Linderbaum was 25th.
It's a lot of teams that pick at 14 that don't hit home runs, you know, the way that they did, and then have to pick again in the 20s. And it's a center, but it's looking like probably the best center in that class.
Definitely that class. One of the best centers in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, and that was a need, if you remember, because they was going through guys they couldn't seem to get anybody. Mm-hmm. It was like, the broken toys. They take a guy who's actually, a right tackle, and then you try to play center. They take a guard, and then you try to play center. They finally got their guy, so I think that it's pretty damn cool. And you're right. It's 14th. Lindenbaum's 25th. Lamar was 32nd.
Right.
Maybe the best player in the league. So, I mean, you look at the things they've done. I just think when you see something like this, it's great for the individual players, but I think it says a lot about the Ravens front office.
410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in, talk about any of the Pro Bowlers. Anybody you feel like was snubbed? You brought up Kyle Van Noy. I feel like he thinks he was snubbed as well. And the word snubbed is another thing that's been watered down, because everybody just thinks if you didn't make it, you're snubbed. But I mean, you get 9 Pro Bowlers. It's tough. And in a league now where there is a lot of, you know, competition at all of these positions, and the voting process is so weird. I mean, just a couple of years ago, Tua led all fan voting and didn't even make it in as a Pro Bowler. Yeah. So, I mean, it's only a third of the vote. And, you know, you just never know what's going to happen. The Pro Bowl, they don't even know what it is anymore. It's the Pro Bowl games. So
Which I think it was a smart move.
Right. I mean, you got to do something.
Yeah.
It still stinks, but you got to do something, yeah. I guess. Keep trying until you figure it out. But coming up next here on the Big Bad Morning Show, we'll look at the NFL as a whole. We'll give out some of our major awards, MVP down to comeback player of the year. Also, we're giving out shovels at 7 o'clock. So 410-583-1057 is the number if you got a shovel to give out today as well. But we're talking NFL next here on The Fan. 6:47 in the a.m. on this Friday morning in Charm City. A cold one in Charm City. Winter is fully here at the start of the year on January 3rd, first Friday of the year. Cordell Woodland filling in for Rob and Jeremy today here with Ed Norris, Joe LaCroix, Behind the Glass on the Big Bad Morning Show. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to give in. We're handing out awards for the NFL season right now with the final week of the season getting underway this weekend. Let's start at the top. MVP. I mean, there's so much debate around this award right now. Who's deserving, who's not. For me right now, it's Lamar. But I think Josh is a worthy candidate. I think obviously Saquon's having a really good year. Look, I can't even believe I'm saying this. I think Darnold's having an MVP caliber year. I think Jaden Daniels, if he wasn't a rookie, he'd be in this conversation. Joe Burrow, if his team didn't stink, he'd be in this conversation. But for me right now, Lamar's the MVP.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think it's hands down Lamar when you just look at him statistically. And usually I don't do that because a lot of times you'll see guys who throw – Matthew Stafford when he was the Lions. Mm-hmm. He would throw for like a ridiculous amount of yardage every year because they sucked. And he had a throw count. They were always behind. So it really wasn't a good indication. Not the case here. Lamar's got – he's got yardage. He's got 39 touchdowns. At four, only four picks. He's got a quarterback rating of like 121, a passer rating. I mean, he's completing 68% of his passes. And more than that, though, you look at him, it's like, wow, he looks so much better. His passes are crisper. You know, he doesn't throw ducks anymore. I mean, everything's got a nice tight spiral on it, on the money, not behind receivers. I just think it's a case of like, oh, we can't give it to that guy again. Because that happens in the four majors. Yeah. It's like, if you got a guy that's going to win it, and it's like, well, is he going to win it every year? Like, what are you going to do with Shohei?
Right. You know?
Like, somebody like that who's just ridiculous in baseball. So, I don't know. But for me, it's Lamar Jackson, hands down.
Yeah, I think there is a little bit of Lamar fatigue, so to speak, there. And it is ironic that last year he won MVP without necessarily having the better stats than other people. Mm-hmm. And this year he has the numbers and some of the things have flip-flopped. But I just look at Lamar as a guy that's continuously ascending. I mean, just last year, this time we were saying that we thought we were watching the best version of Lamar. And here we are again with a year later watching a different. I mean, are we going to be saying the same thing next year?
Yeah.
Every time I think the dude has hit his max level, he takes it to another level individually. I just think the world of him as a football player.
You know the difference is, too? A lot of the guys in the conversation, who are all, I mean, I think the world of you know, Josh Allen, he's an incredible quarterback, and Burrow, obviously, and they're great. However, what you'll see from these guys very often is, you'll see Burrow complete, you know, a 67-yard pass, a chase, or whatever, right on the money, gorgeous. You know, Allen will end up right because he has more rushing touchdowns than Lamar. He'll break one off. He'll end up, you know, galloping for 35 yards, whatever, knock down a defensive back, get to the end zone. He does those moments. But Lamar has these things constantly that are just like, how the hell did he do that? Like, how did he get out of that? How did he evade that? How did he couldn't sack him? He stiff arms a defender. And then think about all the times when it looks like the drive's going to die. It's 3rd and 12. Who picks it up? Mm-hmm. Him. You know, it's not the 45-yard burst that he's got. I mean, certainly capable of, where he can run one in. But it's all the other ones where when they need a first down, Lamar gets it somehow. And I just think it's become so commonplace, people kind of yawn with him.
Let's go to Defensive Player of the Year. And this one, I think, is a little tougher because there isn't, like, a bona fide top candidate for this award. I'm going to go Pat Surtain.
I'm ready to go corner.
I want something different. It seems like it's becoming an edge rusher award. I want to give some love to the DBs. And I feel like this Broncos defense in general isn't getting a lot of love. They don't have as many Pro Bowlers as other teams do. I'm going to go Pat Surtain because I think he's the straw that stirs the drink for that defense that leads that Broncos team.
I agree with you. I think he is having when I was just looking at who people were talking about, he was one of the obvious choices for people. I like Kirby Joseph. I'm a bit of a closet Lions fan. I really like what they've done over there. He's leading the NFL in picks, having a great year. And again, really, fortifies the back end of that defense. But I think my choice this year is going to be TJ Watt again.
Okay.
Because he's so important to that team. It's not just his sack numbers, which are always good and they're good again this year. But he just does so much. He's a great edge setter. He forces a lot of fumbles. He'll pick you. Hey, look what he did to the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
See, every time he plays him, it's something like that. So I just think T.J. Watt is so critically important to that team. And they're successful, too, which is the other issue. Like, they are going to the playoffs. So, you know, you're talking about a guy with, well, he's got, this year, 11 half sacks, 6 forced fumbles.
Yeah, it's crazy.
6. So he's that guy where he's a game changer. He's a quick change guy. He'll knock a ball out. He'll you know, sack somebody, kill a driver, he'll punch a ball out and, you know, recover it. I think T.J. Watt would be my choice.
Let's go offensive player of the year. A couple of candidates for this one. Obviously, some of the same guys that we mentioned for MVP. I think you could throw in Ja'Marr Chase for sure. For an award like this, for me, it's coming down to Ja'Marr and Saquon. I think I'm going to lean Saquon, give some love to the running back position, especially 2,000 yards. He's not going to get the Eric Dickerson award. Record. It looks like, but Saquon has been a godsend right now for the Eagles. I'm gonna go with him.
Yeah, I'm going with Saquon as well. To me, I favor running backs anyway. It's not that I don't like quarterbacks, but I'm so sick of seeing them win everything.
Yeah, they force you to love them.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and it's a given. Like, I'd like to see the next time a non-quarterback wins the MVP. Mm-hmm. And it's probably not going to happen. So I just like to see that happen where Saquon gets it. And as far as the record goes, the NFL has kind of shot themselves in the foot with this because – you can't keep extending the season by a game and another game and another game and then have the records, you know, be on equal footing. Because you look at people like, you know, O.J. Simpson. He averaged more yards per game when he broke 2,000 yards. He had 6 yards a carry that season, 143 yards per game, and did it in a 14-game season. Not 17.
Right.
So to me, I'd look at that and say, well, you know, he may have more yards. He had 3 more games to play. You know, look at someone like Jim Brown who played way back when. Look at his numbers. They're preposterous. He averaged over 100 yards a game in his career. So, I mean, these guys just did a little – it's a little different. So, but it sounds like I'm talking myself out of Saquon. Still Saquon for me as the offensive player of the year.
All right, let's go rookie of the year. I think it's a slam dunk, but I'll admit I'm biased.
I'm not biased. I'm going the same way.
Yeah, that boy is – he's beyond legit. I really think if he wasn't a rookie, he'd probably have his name in a lot of other awards. But for sure, rookie of the year goes to him right now.
He's only the 4th rookie since 1970 to go to Pro Bowl.
It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, that's how good he is. And I agree with you. I mean, I'm not a Commanders fan, but he deserves it. He's something else, man. He really is. And he's another one where it's not just the fact the team is good finally.
Mainly because of him. I think they're overachieving big time.
Yeah,
but
because of him. And that's what he's getting to. Like, this is, and again, like, you know, I talked about this earlier with the college ranks where I like seeing Notre Dame relevant, Penn State relevant. I like seeing Washington relevant because they have incredible history. And I don't like when they suck. And I'm not even a fan, but I just think it's important for them to be good. And now they're good again. But Dan Jaden is. He's one. It's not just the stats. It's not just teams. Watch him play.
Yeah.
Watch him throw a deep ball. For a rookie, a guy just out of college, his deep ball passes are fantastic. He can run. He's going to be something. They finally found their quarterback.
Finally. Last one here. Comeback player of the year. And this is a weird one. They changed the wording on the description a little bit. Apparently, you have to come back from an injury from the year before or something like that, but I wouldn't be surprised if Darnold is the winner. But I also could hear an argument for J.K. Dobbins, honestly, for the year that he's having out in L.A. with the Chargers. He got hurt again this year, and that run game for the Chargers completely fell off a cliff when Dobbins went down. And that's even with Gus out there and everything. So he came back, I think, a week or two ago and looked pretty good. So I want to go with J.K. just because it's good to see him put together a semi-healthy year and still show he can play, you know, at a high level.
Again, I like him. I do favor running backs, but I like him. I'm going to go, because I was going to put in Joe Burrow when it was an injury, because he's having a fantastic year after being out, you know, with an injury last year. portion of last year. But I'm going to go with Sam Darnold. Once I found they're going to count votes for him, I'm going to go with Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is a guy, you know, he was seeing ghosts when he was with the Jets.
Right.
Then he ends up going to Carolina. After that, he goes to San Francisco. He lit it up in San Francisco, threw for 297 yards. I mean, he's just, I thought his career was pretty much over. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now. You look at what he's done. It's like, he's got 35 touchdowns. He's got over 4,000 yards. And Vikings, I think the Vikings are going to beat the Lions on Monday and win that division. Mm. Lions are really beat up defensively. Mm-hmm. I still pick them because I've been on the Lions for a while, so I'm going to go with them in our picks. But if the Vikings win that game, not going to surprise me. And Darnold has really, really just transformed himself. And it's kind of nice to see, honestly, just when a guy who you just think everybody was down on and he sucks. And I mean, you know. Their families hear this stuff.
Right.
It's just like, nice to see him turn it around. And I think, I think their coach deserves coach of the year consideration.
I think he will, O'Connell, for sure. Coming up at 7:15, we'll talk some college football, give our thoughts on last night's Sugar Bowl, and look ahead to the pending Final Four. But coming up next here, we'll give out our shovels of wisdom. 410-583-1057 is the number. If you got a shovel, if you want to jump in to the conversation, we'll give you ours next here on The Fan.